but maybe the issue is that one should feel the need for there to be a specific moment to share. Maybe any time should be that very easy moment. The hardest year of my life was my junior year in high school. With AP classes, SATs, and college visits, I knew it was going to be a hard year, but what I couldn't have predicted was the effect all these things would have on my seasonal affective disorder. On top of academic commitments, I was being bullied in my safe space, on my loyalty, and practice was no longer my hour. Every day that winter ran into the next as a blur of school, extracurriculars, and crying in my bathroom. I didn't really know why, but I felt so sad and so alone. I started cutting myself that winter, putting the physical hurt to the unnamed pain I felt, focusing on that in order to shut off my brain. No one noticed the small lines on my wrist, threatening to blister the scars 4 years later. On my worst days, it seems easy to go back to that. I've written in my journal about the conflicting thoughts of I want to and I really don't. The urge that, like my illness, won't just go away. This is my version of depression. It's something that constantly affects me, and it cannot be contained in a single word. Talking about it helps me feel seen, helps me feel validated in my thoughts and experiences, helps me feel better, stronger, so I want to talk about it. As winter melted away that same year, I found the courage to share my hurt with my best friend and found comfort and healing in her friendship. I hid the small blade and let my wrist heal, but I never really stopped self-harm. I had begun feeling really uncomfortable with the way I looked. I thought back on third grade shopping trips with my mom, where she'd always shop for me in the plus size girl section, even though those clothes didn't even fit as well. In my mind, all people saw when they looked at me was fat. I felt as if I simply took up too much space. Over the summer, when I was home alone for most of every day, I started counting every single calorie that I put into my body. I exercised and ran sprints for hours outside every day under the guise of wanting to be in better shape than my teammates, as I was captain of the volleyball team. I brought the dinners my parents made me into my room and threw them in the garbage. I celebrated when my MyFitnessPal asked that my net intake was negative so that I hadn't eaten enough that day. And while it's not bad anymore, I still struggle to have a healthy relationship with food. Sometimes not eating enough, sometimes trying to compensate and eating too much. It's still on my mind, and yes, you may learn about disordered eating, but my experience isn't really fit under a label. It can't be summed up in a word, which is why I feel it's important to talk about. I'm really proud of this campus for the space that it is. We talk about mental health and mental illness a lot, and that helps open spaces for people to bring forth their pain and not be afraid to get help. However, when we say anxiety, we don't always discuss in class or avoiding certain spaces because of it. When we say depression, we don't discuss self-harm or other self-destructive tendencies that go along with it. When we say eating disorders, the discussion seems limited to psychology classes. We don't talk about the realities of mental illness, and in framing discussions this way, we fail to fully support everyone in our community. By being open to and creating space for the sharing of hard but honest stories, we can further take away from the stigma surrounding mental illness. Without analyzing it, understanding the details of living with mental illness can allow us to provide more helpful resources, know what signs to look out for our friends, and know what comments or situations to avoid in order to help with recovery. Additionally, it's beneficial to have these discussions so everyone can feel more comfortable getting things like this off their chests and feeling validated in their experiences. Knowing that there's no such thing as you're not sick enough, rather struggles are not things to be compared, and help is always available. It's important to talk about so everyone knows they don't have to wait for a right time to bring up the hard stuff with friends, but that what's on your mind is okay to share. It's important so that those with shared experiences can find each other and get support and love from someone else who gets it. It's important so that we don't have to feel alone. Rather, we can carry the weight of the world together.
If I could have a heart to heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart to heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about
cutting and burning.
I'd probably talk about
cutting and burning.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school.
Cutting and burning.
Clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart to heart with my dad.
If it were real heart to heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
Just listen and be supportive.
Probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart to heart. I just want to talk.
Cutting and burning in my life made the pain that was going on in my mind real.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Carrie intentionally burned her arms with a curling iron.
Cutting and burning in my life made the pain that was going on in my mind real.
She got help and tries to help others.
Just listen and be supportive, but also don't enable the person to feel sorry for themselves and to keep going downhill. Try to stay away from that by encouraging them. How can you go forward? What do you need to do to make something positive out of this?
Who needs you to be supportive? From the Mennonite Churches and Faith and Values Media.
Tuned in to the Tears of the Gods sound collage here on WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Educational Community Radio. Yes, we are all that, especially this evening where we are bringing you Tufts Voices of the Hill, excerpts from an event on April 25th that had 18 students sharing their stories, reflecting their experiences and perspectives. We've been mixing up some of those stories with our featured artists, the German electronic band Tangerine Dream, and we heard Green Desert and Barbacane Part 1 in that last set. Backing me up right now is the Russian trance band, PPK. And this song is untranslatable. Actually, it truly is untranslatable. Because when I ripped it into my computer and on my devices, that's what comes up rather than the song name. Just this untranslatable. So we're going to just keep going. We've got about 50 minutes left before Chase Carson comes on. And following this PPK, we're going to hear a little Turkish music before getting back to some more Tufts Voices from the Hill. This is Selik, the Turkish artist.
Kariyer bulamadım parayı.
Sorma be kardeş, paranın gözü kör olsun. Ben de istemem mi? Arabam yetim kıtım olsun. Canıma yetti valla ama gördüm televizyon.
onu. Bir girersem alemi yırtık şükürler olsun. Herkes kafayı yemiş, okusan ne fark eder? Araban Ferrari ise kolayca park eder. Böyle gelmiş böyle gider mi bilmem ama anlatayım alemi sakın şaşırma. Önce bulacağım bir tiki, vereceğim aslında fikiki. Kakakakakikiki. Böylece olacağım bu alemin gözdesi.
Vah cici kız, cici bicili giyince sosyeteye gireceğim.
Şartlarında sen iyi bir dikisin ama biraz böyle fazla şişsin. İyisi mi ayrılalım biraz kendine gelirsin. Sonra bineceğim alemden birinin arabasına. Gideceğim Layla'ya Mayla'ya konuşacağım Bülent ablayla. Vereceğim bile röportaj anlatacağım herkese. Bir gece de şöhretim la.
Olur mu be cici kız bu iş böyle biter mi? Bu aleme girmenin vardır 7 bedeli. Yedinciye gelince öğrenirsin sebebi. Söylemeyeceksin kimseye gece gördüklerini.
Deme be kardeş bu alem bu kadar zor mu? Kaybettiğim değerler sonradan bana kor mu? Bu rengarenk alemde bizi düşen mos.
Dedikleri parıltılı virane. Para, pul, şan, şöhret bunların hepsi bahane. Bir ailen varsa eğer şahanesi şahane.
Vah cici kız, cici bicili giyince sosyeteye gireceğim mi sandın? Vah cici kız, cici bicili giyince sosyeteye gireceğim mi sandın? Vah cici kız, cici bicili giyince sosyeteye.
Shattered that glass. She asked me if I was. I just started to cry. my mother's birthday cry. I locked myself in my room. My mom waited outside, scared I would hurt myself. I didn't. I wanted to, but I didn't. We did not acknowledge that day for 2 years. The first time I kissed a boy, I was drunk. I always thought that love and sex could be easy. I just hadn't had the chance to experiment yet. So I conflated technology with nature in order to purchase my room to be intimate with. I turned the fluorescent lights off, plugged in the Christmas lights that I bought at the Target with my mother. I wanted it to be perfect. We kissed. We did more. I wore the pink on my neck like a medal. It wasn't until the next day, sitting on the green line, that I had sacrificed this event to someone that I'd never see again. I repressed those feelings, tucked it away in the corner of my brain, between all of the other thoughts that are too difficult to bear, and moved on. I started to sweat. I started to get a rush of excitement every time a stranger determined to be worthy of that door. I lost track of what mattered. I spent my weeks waiting for the weekend, hoping that someone else would come into the other day's door. Kiss me. Take me home. Take me on a date. Love me. Make me feel accepted. Somehow I thought that would make me love myself. This is what happens sometimes. Sometimes I order another boy in my room to feel connected. Every time I would, feel worse after that. Every time the whole side of me would grow, and I fill it with another, this might be the one I think. The one who will make me feel whole again. But I now know that to them, I was just another mouth, just another ass, a rag all made for someone else's pleasure. I lived like this for 2 years. I'm growing up stronger now. I try to look at myself as inherently valuable, not just valuable because someone else tells me I am. I'm exploring the world within myself, experiencing the love and romance I've always wanted. But I don't need anyone else to experience this. I'm falling in love with my wavy brown hair and the slight curves above my hips.
of anonymous. And I wanted to start with speaking about what I said about everyone would be a gift. One of the biggest gifts in my life that I'm very grateful for is that people have opened up and shared with me the vulnerable and more intimate side. And I started since young, as from my early personal experience, I grew up in a place with neither many materials, have nor wants. And I went to school and I started to see wealthier friends. And I was very, very surprised at how many well put together people actually a mess inside. And this from stories of broken families to stories of broken self-images, from the fear of not looking good enough to the fear of not being good enough, and then the struggle to fit in, and then the struggle that you fit in too much and you're trying to break out your own role. As long as we are alive, it's a mess, we have the tons of our problems. And I think that speaks a lot about the who we are and the condition of our lives. And I would ask myself, so what do we do with this mess called being human? And to that mess, I want to share a bit of personal story first. When I first came to Tufts, as an international student who received full financial aid in Tufts, the story that I told myself that coming to Tufts was a dream come true, and I'm forever grateful for everything that I've been given and I want to give back. And that explained why I used to be very gung-ho about the whole making the world a better place thing. And I still quite gung-ho about it. And then part of it, yeah, I think, is a youthful idealism which very much still burning. I think the other part of it, I'm guessing, is the stand for some kind of insecurity that somehow is not enough for the world. And since then, that story has evolved a little bit. Now, I still want my work to contribute to something that's meaningful. However, I'm not too particular about it anymore. I just try to live day by day, moment by moment, trying to embrace everything. And if you call it, maybe I call it maturity, and call it learning to accept, learning to let go of control, or learning to trust life more. Whatever you call it, I just find that life is better that way. And the work that I do becomes more joyful, more sustainable, and surprisingly also more effective. So with that, a bit of personal story, I wanted to share my mess, which everyone has a mess, but I want to share my mess. It is that hearing people's story, it's tiring, it's exhausting, and I hear the same kind of story again and again, and somehow I'm just afraid that I will not be able to feel the pain anymore, that I will feel numb. I don't know, because all of us have done a lot of emotional labor work, we have felt that way too. Ask yourself, why why would you want, why would I want to go to the already messy world in my mind? And my answer to that is that there are a lot of people out there, maybe many of us in this room, who actually really will do anything to be in your shoes, to feel your pain. They are the single people who, behind the very thin walls of critical thinking, who has just hurt but never truly healed. And they are the people who deep inside yearning for something or someone to connect with, to believe in. And I know that because I've been there. Every day I look at myself and I look at the former ghost of my cynical self, and I have to say, thank you, but no, I'm not going there. And that's why I celebrate with people when we feel sad, because this is really good to feel sad. It makes me feel alive. It reminds me that I'm human. And it's being cynical is like fiction. And it's so addictive because it's so sick. Is that if I cannot cry for real, I cannot laugh for real either. One of the quotes that Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh said is that our joy and pain are one. So getting hurt sucks. But the alternative of getting numb sucks even more. Cynicism literally sucks the life out of us. And my ask for all of us here today is that if you live this through, if you remind yourself, please, for life's sake, don't turn yourself into a walking zombie. Please, if you can, choose pain over numbness.
She got good! house is a woman who loved the music. And I was the woman who loved this house. If you weren't ready for a wedding, maybe you weren't ready for a black person, maybe you weren't ready for a queer person, maybe you weren't ready for a first generation student, maybe you weren't ready for a person living in a world of poverty, maybe you weren't ready for an immigrant, maybe you weren't ready for a person, maybe you weren't ready for a person with chronic illness, maybe you weren't ready for a survivor of sexual assault, maybe you weren't ready for a survivor of verbal abuse. Maybe you weren't ready for a survivor of mental abuse. Maybe you weren't ready for a survivor of emotional abuse. Maybe you weren't ready for a survivor of physical abuse. Maybe you weren't ready for a survivor of domestic abuse. Maybe you weren't ready for a survivor of child abuse. Maybe you weren't ready for a scavenger. Maybe you weren't ready for an emotional scam. Maybe you weren't ready for a romance. Maybe you weren't ready for a community. Maybe you weren't ready for a personal anxiety. Maybe you aren't ready for a personal confession. Maybe you aren't ready for a personal confession. Maybe you aren't ready for a spiritual person. Maybe you aren't ready for a partner. Maybe you aren't ready for a challenger. Maybe you aren't ready for a questioner. Maybe you aren't ready for a engineer. But I know for sure you aren't ready for all of them to be the same person. How? Because every day at the school is an uphill battle regardless of which direction I'm walking in. But after all the injustices that you've served me, I still want to pass. I've made some great friends. I have professors that really push me. I've met people that have changed me. But that was the people, not you. I do not love you, Tufts. I love the people that carry you. Now that I'm here, what have you done? You have just asked me questions. Have you gone to office hours? I did. Have you talked with your professors? I did. Have you talked with your RA? I did. Have you talked with the principal? I did. Have you met with the CTA? I did. Have you met with TCU Senate? I did. Have you met with your dean? I did. Have you talked with the provost? I did. Have you talked with the president? I did. Have you talked with your financial aid counselor? I did. Have you got an RSM job? I did. Have you got a second job? I did. Have you got a third job? I did. Have you got a fourth job? I did. Have you applied for outside scholarships? I did. Have you talked to the cushions? Have you got a dish? I did. Have you got some career center? I did. Have you used the air screen? I did. Have you got some health services? I did. Have you got some mental health services? I did. Have you tried something new? I did. Have you done a video? I did. Have you joined the extra school journey? I did. Have you got any deals? I did. Have you read any books? I did. Have you talked to the SEL? I did. Have you gone to the group of six? I did. Have you joined the community? I did. Have you joined another community? I did. Have you joined another community? I did. Have you engaged in self-care? I did. I did my SATs, my ACTs, my APs, my leadership, my work, my honors, my volunteering, my essays, my application. I did what I could to prepare for you. Maybe it is not I who did not do enough to prepare for you, but it is you who has not done enough to prepare for me. Maybe you assume that people like me don't make it this far, and yet, here I am. What did you do to prepare for me? Rather than address the issue, you call your committees, your forums, your panels, your surveys, your articles, your new positions, your discussions. You cannot top off chains, tufts. They must be broken. So great. Maybe then I can say this to your school funerals, not the door. Stop emailing us your sympathy and start tracking them.
Number nine.
Most of the people here say they hate racism, hate sexism, hate transphobia, Islamophobia, and homophobia. But what none of us say is the action needed to destroy these forces. A word, just one word, is missing from our political vocabulary. No one says that word except in jokes, or in whispered conversations, or in history papers. The word we all should use is revolution. As Malcolm X said, most students are potential revolutionaries. But your Western countries don't have trouble. That's the gap I'm here to talk about between sentiment and action. I'm a goldfinger, and as Malcolm X said, ask for work if they don't give you work. Ask for bread. And if they don't give you work or bread, then take the bread. We have asked for work, we have asked for bread, we have asked for safety. We have not gotten those things. To be sure, we are students. We are not starving. But I am in debt, and when I go home this summer, I will be the only child in the beginning of this day in my house. We are working class. Instead of bread, we have gotten 160 swipes. Instead of work, we have gotten 1,800 chips. Instead of safety, fascists are marching in the streets. ISIS snatching people out of churches in Chelsea. Rapists are protected by schools and judges. And the police are free of our meeting, our friends and neighbors in every city, every day. We all know that this white supremacy is not the dominance of each watch on the left. The strains of our future. These assets are all parts of this racist patriarchal intervention from the right to all except.
But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out?
Don't you know it's gonna be
alright?
Where they trade, dug the mines and built the workshops, and those miles of railroad blades. Now we stand up fast and starving, amidst the wonders we have made. The we here is important. The United States has long been a society that oppresses many different people in many different ways, but only rich whites have ever had any real power.
Solution. right. You say you got a real solution. Well, you know, we don't love to see the plan.
Brother, may it serve you well.
Maybe it's not
what,
that.
What? Oh.
Maybe even then, exposure is something that's difficult to bear.
The post one great year. I, John Brown, am now quite certain that the finest prescriptive language will never be furnished with any other blood. I have, as I now can, been able to flatter myself that we had a very much loved thing, but maybe not. We drown in sea, sexist parts of fantasy, all the while the entire ecological system that makes human life possible is under sustained assault. Only we can stop it. We must take power. The time is now. The word to use.
If you become naked,
you've been listening to the Tears of the Gods sound collage. That's right. It's not just a radio program. It's a sound collage with audio clips from movies, TV shows, documentaries, political speeches, who knows where. And this evening, we've been diverging from that plethora of sources and instead brought you excerpts from the Tufts Voices of the Hill event a week and a half ago, April 25th, where 18 Tufts students shared their stories, their experiences, and their perspectives. And I want to thank so much Quinn, graduating Tufts senior Quinn, one of the organizers of that event, as well as the Tufts Open Call series. I've met so many fascinating people that way and, you know, thought about what their lives are like. Different from mine, and it's great to learn more and meet new people. And as we mentioned with some of the exercises at the Tufts Open Call event, getting blindfolded and tied up with them too. Yeah, we actually did that last Tuesday at the finale, which I, in fact, I brought in my fog machine. And Dowling Hall, we had fog going all over that intimately lit lounge. And we had Tufts security coming a couple of times, checking things out, but we were A-OK. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again next week. And Chase, we've got a jazz prelude.
Uh-oh.
But I'm going to give you the choice. We've got three artists, and they all have something to do with rain, because it's raining outside. John Coltrane with After the Rain, Chet Baker, Here's That Rainy Day, or Kenny G with In the Rain.
Ooh, those are all good ones, but I got to go with Chet Baker.
Okay, we'll do that.
Very well.
Okay, stay tuned for Chase with a Time Tunnel, classic rhythm and blues, soul, funk, dance, and disco from back in the day, and he'll be on right after Chet Baker. And, well, here's That Rainy Day on WMFO in Medford.
91.5 WMFO. Time to tell Chase Costa. Before I start the show, I've been away on a 2-week hiatus. Man, can you hear that air conditioner, man? This is